This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 4.5, down 3.5. September corn, 386.25, down 5. December corn, 392.75, down 5.25. July soybeans, 13.29.75, down 4.75. August soybeans, 12.32.75, down 13.75. September soybeans, 11.21.75, down 10.25. July wheat, 5.36.75, down 2.75. September wheat, 5.48.5, down 2.75. December wheat, 5.70.5, down 4.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Thursday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Thursday afternoon. Soybean export numbers for last week were higher than expected, and that rallied soybeans. Corn found strength in too much moisture in the northern corn belt, and wheat posted gains on poor yields in the major wheat-producing areas of the West. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at 423 to 447. Soybean bids were 13 to 22 cents higher at 1416 to 1440. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 cents at 424 to 447, and soybean bids were up 20 cents at 1431 to 1456. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 cents higher at 436 to 458. Soybean bids were up 20 to 21 cents at 1424 to 1453. And wheat bids were 6 to 11 cents higher at 552 to 571. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were up 20 cents at 1457 to 1492. The basis unchanged at 75 to 110 over the August. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 485.50 to 505.50 a ton, and that was up 13.80 to 18.80, with the basis unchanged to 5 higher at 20 to 40 over the July. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 2 to 3 cents higher at 445 to 459. With the basis unchanged to 1 higher at 2 to 16 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids steady to at 448 to 453, with the basis down to at 5 to 10 over the July. Soybeans ended 19 to 23 cents higher at 1442 to 1453, with the basis mixed at 5 to 16 over the July. Wheat prices were up 10 to 11 cents at 567 to 580, with the basis 3 to 4 higher at 2 to 15 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 3 cents lower at 471 to 473. These elevators raised their soybean prices 21 cents with quotations of 1467 to 1468. Soft wheat was 9 to 11 cents higher at 605 to 612, and Milo ended the day 2 cents higher at 456 to 468. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 405 to 418, soybeans 1204 to 1229. Corn in the central part of the state was 410. to 423, and soybeans were 1212 to 1226. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 412 to 425, soybeans 1214 to 1235, and wheat was 552 to 571. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, $148.15, down $2.65. October live cattle, 150.72, down $2.82. December live cattle, 152.40, down $1.65. August feeder cattle, 210.60, down $3. September feeder cattle, 212.20, down $3. October feeder cattle, 211.87, down $3. July lean hogs, 132.80, down 50 cents. August lean hogs, 127.95, down $1.65. October lean hogs, 112.95, down $2.45. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 26th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 14 cents higher in the range of 117.50 to 127, with a weighted average carcass price of 124.69. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds, 66 to 70, 4 to 5 weights, 69 to 76, 5 to 6 weights, 75 to 79, and 6 weights and up, 77 to 80. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts and country buying points were trading a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $85 up to $92. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 11,206 head. And now the report from the Schuyler Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 283 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 147.50 to 154. Select steers, 138 to 147.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 137.50 to 147. Select and choice, 131. Select Holstein steers, 125 to 136. And choice heifers, 146.50 to 154. Select heifers, 145. And now on to the real livestock auction in Congerville. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 149 to 154.50. Select and choice, 142 to 147.50. Choice slaughter choice slaughter heifers were 148 to 154.50, with some high dressings bringing 155.50. Select and choice heifers, 143.50 to 147.50. Now onto the slaughter cows, they had some premium. Average dressing, 121.50 to 129. The high dressing, 132.50 to 136. Breakers, average dressing, 101.50 to 112.50. High dressing, 117 to 119. Boners were 101.50 to 109. And the high dressing, 112 to 116. Leans were 90 to 102, with the high dressing at 109. Now on the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 150, and heifers on a live basis traded at 150 and on a dress basis at 236. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 207 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 131.81. That was $1.86 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $245.01, that was 49 cents higher, and select carcasses were $237.56, that was 61 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000, that compared to 118,000 last week and 125,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 397,000, that compared to 371,000 last week and 408,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.93. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.67. July corn delivered to Scottville, $3.84. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.67. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $13.17. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.74. July beans delivered to Scottville, $13.06. October beans delivered to Scottville, $10.74. July wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.17. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $3.93, corn at Scottville is $3.84, beans at Greenfield are $13.17, beans at Scottville are $13.06, and wheat at Scottville is $5.17. Yesterday at the Southern Illinois University Research Center in Belleville, there was a field day. One of the speakers at the field day was Pete Fondle with Illinois Central College, who had some news about regulations that may be coming down the pipeline concerning the hypoxia region in the Gulf.
Well, my talk today was basically dealing with the issue of the Gulf hypoxia in the Gulf of Mexico and how nutrient management plans are probably going to become a thing that's coming for farmers in Illinois to try to help address the issue of Gulf hypoxia. And the example I was using was what's happened in the Chesapeake Bay watershed out on the East Coast, where they're already being mandated to do certain practices to limit their nitrogen and phosphorus into the rivers out there.
And you said that farmers should be expecting to see something kind of concrete, something to comment on in about a week here.
Yeah, basically the Illinois statewide nutrient reduction strategy is supposed to be made public here about the 15th of July. I mean, that's the proposed date. I'm hoping it's going to be out next week. And I did have a copy of it here that I was kind of showing some guys. But yeah, that plan should be out next week. So you probably need to be looking for that and pay pretty close attention to that plan when it comes out on the for public comment.
So obviously farmers should be encouraged to really take a look at it and comment on it. What would you say going into the future here is your biggest recommendation for farmers as for what their mindset should be?
Well, as far as their mindset, obviously, if we're dealing with Gulf hypoxia, we're dealing with the issues of nitrates and phosphorus. So farmers need to be very mindful of all the different conservation practices they can implement on their operation now to limit the phosphorus and nitrates from leaving their farms and getting into a stream, creek, or river, because that's what this plan is going to address, is trying to reduce that hypoxic zone in the Gulf. And those are the two nutrients that kind of cause that situation to happen. So be mindful of any conservation practice that you could start doing or do more on more of your acres to limit those two nutrients.
And you said that different areas of Illinois are prioritizing different things. So can you give us some of those priorities that are going to be coming around?
Well, obviously, if you look at the nitrates and phosphorus, nitrates leave farmers' fields in the tile water or the surface water. So basically, the northern two-thirds of the state's probably going to be keyed in for that issue because of all the tiling and all the flatter ground, where obviously most of the ground's tiled up there. So they're probably going to key in the nitrate initiatives for the northern two-thirds of the state. But the phosphorus, actually, most of it leaves fields via soil erosion. So they're probably going to be targeting the southern third of Illinois due to the highly erodible ground and obviously soil erosion. That's what's moving the phosphorus into the streams and creeks. So those are probably the likely two scenarios to happen within the state.
And why do you think we have not seen mandates like the Chesapeake Bay has seen so far for the hypoxia region in the Gulf to try to solve that?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues is the sheer magnitude of the Gulf, of the Mississippi River Basin. I'm not sure all the agencies can quite figure out how to deal with that many farms, that many acres. But obviously they're trying to very much encourage farmers to do it on a voluntary basis so we don't have the mandates that force us to force our hand to do something different.
Right, because in the Chesapeake Bay area, farmers have to hand in a nutrient management plan every single year, and they have to, you know, cost out of pocket for them to create those plans. So hopefully by doing these things, we can avoid having that situation happen.
Very much so. If farmers can prove that we can voluntarily address this issue and start reducing the amount of nitrates and phosphorus, that'll keep the regulations hopefully at bay, as long as we can prove we're doing something positive.
If we can regulate ourselves, hopefully other people won't have to.
Exactly.
Again, that was Pete Fondle with Illinois Central College. Also at the field day was PhD student Lauren Schwartz. Schwartz is studying a new plant that could become a pest in the near future and is similar to Palmer amaranth and water hemp.
Sure. It's a new invasive species called Japanese chaffflower. It's in the same family as other pigweeds, Palmer amaranth and water hemp. And it's coming our way.
That sounds like a whole bunch of fun, or not. Can you just tell us a little bit more specifically about this? How does it differ from Palmer and water hemp? And how what makes it scarier or less scary?
Okay, for one, it's in the same family, like I said. It has similar characteristics, the red stem. However, it has opposite leaves instead of alternate leaves, like the typical pigweeds we see. It spreads by rhizomes. So that is one way where it does become a little bit more scary, and it spreads by rhizomes, or it starts to when it's at that 4 to 6 inch range, that spray target area. So that's a problem. Also, the germination rate of the seeds is about 97%, where with the other pigweeds, it's much lower, maybe 14 to 20%. So although it does produce less seeds, you know, it's the germination rate is just much higher.
It makes up for it producing less seeds.
Correct.
All right. Well, this sounds a little bit scary. Have we seen it in agricultural fields yet?
We have not seen it actually in fields, but we have seen it up to the edges of fields. The only reason it has not infiltrated fields is because it is susceptible to herbicides. A 2% solution will kill it back. If it's perennial, it may not kill the rhizomes. But it's on the edges, and it's a matter of time before it maybe evolves to have that tolerance or resistance to herbicides.
And where are we seeing this the most? Where is it most frequently occurring?
We only have confirmed sightings along the Ohio River Valley, every county. There are a few confirmed sightings in southern Illinois, a little bit further north. But because, you know, we have restrictions with private property and landowners, that's the only confirmed cases we have.
All right. So it'll take a little while, but it looks like this is probably going to be coming to fields in Illinois.
I think it might, yes.
And what would you say if a farmer is scouting through his or her field and they think they see one of these?
If you find it, take a picture of it, send it to the Weed Science Lab. You can find our information on one of the SIU websites, and I can confirm it. And if you'd like, I can come out to your field and talk to you about it, or we can talk about different methods of removal.
And can you just go ahead and describe it for us one more time?
Okay, it has opposite leaves. It has a red stem, just like the other pigweeds. The leaves are a little bit more elongated than the other pigweeds, but otherwise it's pretty similar looking when it is a seedling. When it gets larger, it has the same type of seed head as the other pigweeds do as well. So
it'll be hard to pick out from all the other ones, but just keep scouting?
Yes.
Again, that was PhD student at Southern Illinois University Carbondale, Lauren Schwartz. On Wednesday, July 16th, Springfield Plastics Incorporated, in conjunction with the Agricultural Drainage Management Coalition, will be hosting their Conservation Drainage Field Day from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at their facility in Auburn. Admission is free of charge, and attendees will be treated to a firsthand look at systems and practices that are sparking interest in the drainage industry, such as drainage water management, saturated buffer systems, and bioreactors. For more information, you can contact Springfield Plastics Incorporated President Steve Baker at 217-438-6167 or at his email sbaker@spipipe.com. The Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District's Natural Area Guardians will be holding a tour on Thursday, July 7th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. on the Glen Savage Farm. The tour will look at 7 different conservation reserve practices on the farm. For more information or to RSVP to the tour, you can contact the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District at 217-532-3610, extension 3. Again, the tour will be Thursday, July 17th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.